So let's turn again to the book of Acts this evening. Chapter number 3, verse number 1. The book of Acts, chapter 3, verse number 1. When you get there, say amen. Hallelujah. Or just kind of nod, one of the two. That's fine. There you go. Got it. God's word, it reads like this. Acts 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Isn't it amazing? All he says to him is just stand in here. Next thing you know, he leaps and worships God. How many of you know God can always do exceedingly and abundantly more than you can ask? And verse number 9. And all, A-L-L, all the people saw him walking and praising God. So if the Lord had helped me tonight, I want to speak to us for just a few moments. Oh, scratch that. I don't know how long it's going to be. I want to speak to us tonight just on this thought. A miracle with a message. A miracle with a message. Are you going to help me tonight? All right, that's about half. I'll take what I got and work with the rest. Hallelujah. Let's slip up our hands to heaven. Let's lift our voices to heaven. Let's ask the Lord to simply have his way. Oh, Father, we need you. I thank you for your divine word. I thank you for the truth that's found in your word. I thank God that this word is like no other book man knows. This is the living, breathing, infallible, inerrant, inspired, living word of God. And I'm praying in the name of Jesus, Lord, simply use me as an instrument that your word would go forth, God. Let it go forth. I know it will not return void. Let it multiply. Let it prevail. Let it do what God desires tonight. I pray, God, bring every thought into captivity, into the very obedience of Christ, and meet us around these altars, and Lord, meet needs in this house tonight. For this is in the name of Jesus that we do pray. And everyone said amen. Shake somebody's hand if you're close beside them. Tell them I'm glad to see you tonight in the house of the Lord. And if you're too far away, you can give them a wave offering. There's a little Old Testament wave offering for you. Beloved, hear me tonight. Here's a man, lame from his mother's womb. No doubt from the very first time that dad and mom looked at that little boy and saw those little crippled legs and knew he's never going to have a normal life. No doubt every time that boy heard other boys playing outside, I'm sure he'd peek out the window and think to himself, why me? His whole life kind of seems to be surrounded by phrases like if and only if and maybe something like if it only had been and all of these things that could have been there. In fact, now he's at a place in his life where people have to carry him to this gate called Beautiful. And there about the best he can do is just hold up a cup. And hopefully somebody will have enough benevolence to come by and maybe give him a coin, give him something to get him through the day. He's there at that gate called Beautiful. Now Josephus tells us about that gate. Josephus was a historian. Josephus tells us that that gate was made out of Corinthian brass. It was overlaid with panels of silver and gold. And when that sun would come up over that Mediterranean Sea, that gate, and men and women would say, "My, what a beautiful gate this is." Everybody looked and saw what a beautiful gate and the reflection that was on there. But undoubtedly, when that man saw the reflection, he didn't see anything beautiful. All he saw was a life that was crippled and a life that could not go forward. And all that's running through his mind is, "God, why me?" Friend, there are things in life that can happen to you. And if you don't take it to God in prayer, I promise you Satan will take you to bitterness if you don't. Things that you and I will never be able to explain. Things that you and I will never be able to get our hands around. Things that you and I will never be able to fully explain and understand. But I want to remind somebody this evening, I don't live my life by explanations. I live by the very promises of God Almighty. God doesn't have to explain everything to Zane. I mean, he does not have to come down, amen, and give me and say, "Hey, is this okay? And can I do this?" And no, sir, he is God and he is sovereign, and what he decides, he knows his will and what is best for me. And I want to remind somebody something tonight. Just because it does not make sense to God, he knows the beginning from the end, even when we do not say amen. I wonder, have you ever thought, why doesn't Jesus just heal him? I mean, this could be a beautiful story. We could teach it in Sunday school. It's packaged perfectly. I mean, he's got to see him. I wonder, do you ever think maybe Jesus do like, oh, come on, don't back up on me here. Do you ever think Jesus kind of does like we do sometimes? Oh, don't act like you ain't never done it. They're on this side of the road and they're holding that sign, "We'll do this for food," or whatever it may be. And for whatever reason, when they're on this side of the road, we happen to find something more interesting on that side of the road. Oh, don't look at me so sanctified. You know exactly what I'm saying. And then when they're on that side of the road, we just happen to kind of glaze over on this side and gaze over on this side of the road and wonder what's going on over here. And somehow or another, just about the time when that light turns green is when we feel the necessity to look back straight again. And by then, everything's moving and there's just no chance to stop. You understand, don't you? I mean, do you ever think maybe Jesus was just kind of in that same way? I mean, here he's got to see him. He's at the gate called Beautiful that leads right up to the temple. Daily, Jesus is at that temple. Do you think maybe when Jesus saw that man, he just kind of looks over at the other side and just kind of fumbles around and, "Oh, I hope he didn't ask me to heal him today." I don't believe that at all, Brother Marty. I think Jesus has got a divine plan. I think Jesus knows the beginning from the end. And I think Jesus knows what's best for that man just like he knows what's best for you. I'm sure that man's shaking his head saying, "Why doesn't he heal me?" But I'm telling you, God not only knows what to do, God knows when to do it. God knows when to heal. God knows when to help. I want to remind you, friend, he does want to heal. He does want to help. But when God puts a miracle in your life, it's for two reasons. Number one, it's for your good. But number two, it's for his glory. God's going to heal you when he gets the most glory out of it. God's going to move when he gets the most glory out of it. Yes, God wants to heal. Yes, God wants to touch. But God says not only what, but when. I know when to heal you. I know when to move for you. I know when you need that door open, and I know when you need that door shut, because I want to remind you tonight, there's something more at stake here. There's something bigger than meets the eye. We on the surface can just look and we can say, "Lord, why don't you just heal this man?" But I'm telling you, there's something below, and God's got to help us to see it. I remember years ago, I was praying for a man. He seemed to always be angry. Just constantly angry, angry. I began to pray. I said, "Lord, this man's always angry. Lord, please, God, deliver him from this anger." And I tell you, as I'm praying for that man about anger, I felt the Spirit of the Lord begin to deal with me and say, "Son, all you're seeing is fruit. You're not seeing root.
It's deeper than that. And I began to pray, oh God, show me what the root is. And I felt him deal with me and say, what you're seeing is anger. That's the fruit. But the root is this unforgiveness. He's not willing to forgive. No wonder he's so full of anger. I'm telling you, we are guilty more often than not of just looking at fruit and not getting down to root. God, why didn't you do this? Lord, why didn't you open up that door? Why didn't you stop this before it ever happened? And all we see is the fruit. And God's saying, I want you to go deeper tonight. I want you to see it from my perspective. Amen. I heard an old preacher say one time, wisdom is simply seeing things from God's perspective. Amen. Wisdom is seeing it from how heaven would see it, how heaven would view it. And if you would have wisdom, then we need to pray, Lord, let me see it like you see it. And the Bible says to you and me tonight, hear this man, and now he becomes a testimony. In Acts chapter 4 and verse number 4, the Bible says that there are 5,000 men that happened to be there that day. Now, if every one of them Hebrew men have got a wife, and if every one of them got 2 children, that's a pretty small Hebrew family. That's a mighty big number stacking up right there. Amen. That 20,000 right there. Do you realize that the Lord has now used this man's miracle as a launching pad, as a springboard for something so much greater? And I'm telling you, beloved, I thank God for your miracle. But here's what's always greater. It's got to be his message. Hallelujah. His message. God wants to heal you, but your healing has got to lead to his message. Your miracle has got to point to the greater message. We're in a world, they're miracle mongrels. I mean, they'll run from to and fro if they hear there's a miracle somewhere. Oh, did you hear? So and so, a miracle. Woo. I'll just stop going to my church and start going to their church because they had a miracle. I'm glad for miracles, okay? Brother Estes, do you believe in miracles? I believe in miracles, okay? But friend, miracles are not the end thing. Miracles are for a reason. Miracles are to point to his message. And if it doesn't bring God glory, I don't care if it was a miracle. You saturate that place with your absence. You get out of there faster than you can say amen. In fact, you don't even greet anybody on the way. If that miracle does not bring glory to God Almighty, you get out of that place. I'm telling you, beloved, there's charlatans out there. There's false spirits that are out. I don't believe everything that just says at my mercy. The devil can make things happen. Slide a hand. Amen. If all you're relying on is a miracle, it's a pretty shallow experience. Here's a man. He says, no, I don't believe in going to church. I don't believe in tithing and worshiping and all that. I don't need any of that. But Lord, I just want to make sure I'm right with you. And if I'm right, just let me know I'm right. And then all of a sudden, up in the sky, big ball of flame, fire. And that man goes, I knew it. I knew I was right with, I knew it. Thank you, God. And then when he dies and stands before God Almighty, God says, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. And he said, wait a second. I saw a miracle. And that confirmed what I believed. And about that time, he hears this cryptic laugh come out of a corner. And it's Satan himself. And he says, you fool, don't you know I'm the prince of the power of the air? That had nothing to do with God. I'm telling you, beloved, I believe in miracles. But I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. If it doesn't bring glory to God, I don't want anything to do with it. I believe God wants to heal. I believe the Lord wants to touch. I believe God wants to move. But when he does, it'll always point back to God's darling son. Somebody give him praise in the house of the Lord. Hey, ladies, I was in Texas, hallelujah. I ain't going to tell you where. Make a guess, hallelujah. It's a big state. Just ask them. Hey, lady, look at me. She said, are you a preacher? I thought, have I got it written on my forehead? What? And I said, yes, ma'am, I sure am. And then she said to me, Brother Martin, she said, are you one of those healing preachers? And I knew the way that she said it, there was a bad experience somewhere. And I said, well, ma'am, let me tell you something. I believe in healing, but I do think there must have been something wrong in the past that you may know of that I don't. And she said, well, you know what? I mean, here is this. This lady didn't claim to be anything. She said, I got a sister, and she goes to this big healing crusade. And she said, I saw a miracle. I know it did. Because there was this lady, and she got healed. They said she was blind since birth. And it was such a miracle because after she got her sight back, the man said, here, read that up on the wall. And she read that up on the wall. And it was just a miracle. And then the lady said, so I look at my sister and I say, what about that second miracle? And she said, what do you mean second miracle? She said, well, you said she's blind since birth. When did she learn to read? Come on here. Listen, friend. I believe in miracles, but if it's not bringing glory to God, I'm telling you, you need to run from it. God has a way, and God help me, Lord, I done made some of you upset, amen. Hallelujah, and there's some folks that was watching, they probably just turned us off, I'm sorry. But friend, it's still the gospel truth. God wants to heal you too, and God wants to help you too, but if and when he does, he wants it to bring glory to the very Son of God. It's not just to consume upon your own self, it's to bring glory to him. If God healed you tonight, how would you use it? If God helped you tonight, how would you use it to proclaim and further his divine message? And on that morning, one man whose life was so tied up, twisted up, and tangled up, his life now becomes a message. Thousands. What was the message, Brother Estes? What was the message that that man's life brought out? The same message that God wants to put through your life. The same message that God wants to put through your life. With every healing, with every help, with every time he touches your life, with every time he opens up the door that no man can shut, and shuts the door that no man can open. And I do believe the message is loud and clear. Amen. In the verse 15 it said, and he killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead. Hallelujah. Wherefore we are witnesses. Amen. The message is this: Jesus Christ is a risen Savior. He's alive and he's well. And every time somebody gets healed, it's just one more testimony that Jesus Christ come out of that grave. Jesus Christ is alive. Amen. How do you know it? Because he healed my body. Because he saved my soul. Because he turned my life around. Because he made a new man out of me. Hallelujah. I see him here and I see him there and I see him there. I'm telling you, everywhere you find a man that's been born again, it's a testimony. Jesus is alive and well. One man's miracle lets everybody else know Jesus is alive. Amen, brother. This God ain't never healed my body. Has he saved your soul? That's a miracle. I said, that's a miracle. You didn't need a 12-step program. You didn't need 50,000 patches to get you over your addiction. Amen. All you needed was a 2-step program out of that pew into that altar and let the blessed blood of Jesus cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And you got up and you was free and you was to live. And that lets that world know, hallelujah, he got up. He got up. He got up. Harry Houdini was fascinated with dabbling and trying to communicate with dead people. Don't do that, young people. In fact, he told his wife, he said, if I ever die, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go into the special room on my birthday. I want you to light a candle. I want you to stare at my picture. And I want you to repeat this secret password. I don't know what the password is. Don't care. Amen. You know what, Brother Vernon Johns, or Jarvis? This is what she did. His birthday, she lights that silly candle. She puts up that picture. And she starts repeating that word over and over. And guess what? Harry Houdini never got up. She did it the second year. And guess what? Mr. Houdini never got up. She did it a third. She did it a fourth. She did it an eighth. She did it a ninth. She did it 10 years in a row. And finally, after that 10th year, Brother Greg, at the end of that day, she stood up. She looked at that picture of Mr. Houdini. She said, Harry, not even you can come out of that grave. She slammed that picture down, blew out that candle, and walked out that door. I got news for you. Mr. Houdini can't get up out of that grave, but I know good and well Jesus did, because he walks with me. He talks with me. He's real. He's alive. Amen. My life, this life, is a walking miracle of what the power of God can still do. Amazing thought. Whenever Joseph, who's in the Old Testament, is a picture of Jesus, he's a type. He's not a perfect type, but he's a type. And Joseph is there now, prime minister of all Egypt. And he says, go back and tell my family I want them in this land of blessing too. And they go back to tell Jacob, Israel. And the words that he says, Jacob says, it ain't so. I don't believe it. But then the Bible says that those chariots of Joseph started coming on in. You know what those chariots were filled with? They were filled with riches. They were filled with blessings. And you know what? When he saw those glorious chariots filled with all those glorious riches, he said, it is enough. Joseph is alive. Now, beloved, I can talk to him till you're blue in the face. We can have an argument and ain't nobody going to change. But you know when they're going to change? When they see the riches of Christ Jesus inside of you. Hallelujah. When they see a life that cannot be explained outside of one thing, Jesus has got to be alive. Amen. You can't explain his life. It's got to be the Lord. That's what God wants out of you. Heard about an old farmer, Brother Martin. That old farmer had his grandson come with him for a week at the farm. He told me, he said, now son, I'm going to go up the top of this barn. I'm going to throw down this hay. And you just stack it whenever I get it down to you. And that boy said, well, Dad, how am I going to know when you make it all the way up there? And that granddad said, boy, when you see the hay fall down here, you'll know I've made it up there. How do I know that Jesus made it back to the Father? Every time I ever see somebody get filled with the Holy Ghost and mighty burning fire, I say, thank God he made it. Amen. Every time I ever see somebody get saved, I say, thank God he made it. I wish somebody get a hold of this. You ain't helping me, but I wish somebody would. Every time I ever see somebody get healed, I say, hey, thank God he made it. Hallelujah. Thank God he's alive. Thank God he's at the right hand of the Father. He's a risen King. He's alive and well. Amen. Amen. The miracle just points to one thing. The great glorious message. Jesus Christ, come out of that grave. Every time someone gets filled with the Holy Ghost, Brother Greg, you know what that tells me? He made it. He made it. I've been there. And they've just laid hands on him and seen God baptize them in the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, whoo, she got through. She got through. I'm glad she got through. You know what she got through tells me? He got through. Hallelujah. He made it. I'm telling you, God wants to heal. God wants to help. But the miracle is for one thing. Let every man and woman know that Jesus is alive. I say, hallelujah, Jesus is alive. Hallelujah, Jesus is alive. He's alive. And hallelujah, he's alive. I said, he's real to my soul. Praise God. Beloved, can people really see the message through your life? Not only does that miracle show you and me that Jesus is a risen Lord, it lets the whole world see Jesus is a residing Lord. His power is still the same.
Now listen, you dear older saints of God, and you're not old, you're just older. Believe me, oh, if I could have been born in your generation, I'd have loved it. I told my wife, I said, I come 50 years late, but I'm kind of glad and not now because I'd been in my 90s and she's only in her late early 30s, excuse me, honey. But I come late. I know I did. But I got here as soon as I could. I would have loved to have been a part of those 1940s and 50s healing crusades. Man, I'd have been right there with them. Oh, I'm telling you what. I mean, even some of that persecution just kind of makes you want to stand up a little bit more, huh? I mean, even just the thoughts of some of those rotten tomatoes that they throw at us. And I know they probably didn't do this around Kentucky, but if you study your history, if you go back and look through history in South Georgia and places in North Florida, they had what they called holiness communities where our kids couldn't play with their kids and we couldn't go to the same grocery store as them. And they treated us as worse as gypsies. But I can tell you one thing, Brother Marty, whenever it was one of their babies that were sick and needed a healing, they'd say, go cross them tracks, get a hold of them their tongue talkers, and let somebody touch God. Hallelujah. They despise us. They spell all evil against us falsely, but they knew we had the power of God.
But this miracle tells something to you and me today, because you have to understand, Jesus is not physically present. He's ascended, but his power is still the same. I'm so glad God did not heal this man before then. I am so glad that the Lord in his wisdom said, I desire to heal you, but you don't understand, because I'm going to use your healing for a message to other men. And I am so glad that the Lord said, I just want to let everybody know that even after I ascend, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the comforter will not come. He said, but if I go, hallelujah, the comforter's going to come. And by the Spirit of the living God, his power is still the same yesterday, today. Somebody help me say it, forever. Amen. Jesus is still the same. Somebody said, you show me in the Bible where miracles are for today. I said, time out. Show me in the Bible where they're not. I mean, listen, I'm not on the defense stand. You are. You prove to me where it's not. Well, knowledge shall cease. Our tongue shall cease. Amen. And that's it, see? No. Read your whole Bible. It says when that which is perfect is come. That's over in 1 Corinthians. If some of you is wondering where. Yes, there's going to be a day. Things are going to change when that which is perfect is come. But if you think this is a perfect world, guess again, mister. We got problems up to our elbows. I think we need the power of God. I think we need the anointing of the Lord. Amen. Until we find that perfect new world, there are still gifts through his Spirit that he desires to administer. Miracle says this, not only is he a risen Savior, he's a residing Savior. He can still do today what he did 2,000 years ago.
I know some of you are giving up on it. I know some of you think, well, God used to, and there was a day where God did, but you remember what verse 16 said, and through his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. He's saying it's right here. Luke told us what Jesus began to do, but Acts tells us what Jesus continues to do, and I still believe God delivers. I still believe God heals, and I still believe God sets free.
When he does, it's for your good, but it's for his glory. Sister Savage, whom we think so much of, her and Brother Savage, pastor there in Virginia, she grew up under Brother Jack Cone. Some of you may be familiar with that name. God used Brother Cone greatly in the healing ministry many, many years ago. She said, as a young girl, she said, I remember the service. She said, you know, God heals people in different ways. Some of them are just like that. Some of them are gradual. But it's all for His glory. She said, we started having a healing line. And she said, you got to understand, in them olden times, them old days, we didn't just stay with one person for 30 minutes. She said, those preachers would pray, lay hands on them. Okay, next. And pray, lay hands. Okay, next. And just, I mean, just run them through. And said, there was this lady that came, and she's got a boy, and the boy's in a wheelchair. And she said, the boy can't even feed himself, let alone clothe himself. He just lays there, and his tongue kind of hangs to the side, quadriplegic. And she says, that lady cuts in line and starts coming by. And Brother Coe just about laid his hands on her. He looked at her, and he said, when you get saved, I'll pray for the boy. She didn't like that too much. But she come back the next service. She come in that healing line again. And he looked at her the second time and he said, when you get saved, I'll heal the boy. She didn't like it either. Sister Savage said she come back a third time. And he looked at her and said, I said, when you get saved, that's all it took. Said that lady turned around and prayed and wept her way through to old time salvation. And when she got up, Brother Cole laid his hands on that boy, prayed for that boy, and then looked at the mother and said, as you grow in God, so will this young man grow in healing. And Sister Savage told us, last time I ever saw the boy, he was walking, talking, feeding himself, everything a normal person would ever do. It didn't happen overnight, but it was for God's glory. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I believe God wants to heal. Some of you have got family members and you know their life's in a mess and all they want is a quick fix out, and I am sorry, but God is not in the business of quick fixes. He wants to help them, but they're going to have to understand there's got to be a surrender. There's got to be a turning loose. There's got to be a saying of not my will, but thy will be done. It'd be a testimony. I was in Uganda. You got time for a story? Here it is. Story time with Brother Zane. Hallelujah. I'm in Uganda. So my girls always say, Dad, tell me a story. We preached there for Pastor James. He's short, little, stucky Ugandan. He'd say, oh, Brother Zane. Squeeze me. I'd say, Pastor James. He preached at that church. And he looked at me and he said, quickly, brother. He said, you must come to my house. He said, his wife, she was so sick. I said, well, sure. And we go to that house. And I'm not exaggerating, Pastor, when I tell you that precious little pastor's wife comes crawling out of that back room on her knees. Well, I saw her, and of course, I just put my hand behind that pastor's back, and we both walked over there together. And when we got to where she was, I looked at her and I simply said, what's wrong? She looked at me with those languid eyes and she said, I can't quit bleeding. Like that woman with an issue of blood. But Marty, I'll be honest with you. I never heard angels' wings fluttering. I never felt any warm water going through my hand. None of that hocus pocus stuff, okay? Nothing. But here's what I know. That pastor laid his hand on his wife. I laid my hand on that pastor's hand. And we prayed, Sister Johnson, in the name of Jesus. In the matchless, glorious, omnipotent name of Jesus. She went back to that room. We sat down and had a humble little meal. Rice, most of it, and the way they would eat it, they would just mash it up with their hands and then just kind of eat it with their fingers like that, no utensils. I fly back to Nairobi 2 days after that, or maybe it was the next day. And there while we're in Nairobi, Kenya, with the Reuben Chule, flips open that flip phone a few days ago, wasn't it? And he says, uh-huh, praise good, praise good, praise good.
And I said, something's good, brother. Praise God for it being good. And Brother Chuley says to me, he says, Brother Estes, he says, do you remember the pastor's wife that was so sickly weak? I said, I sure do. And he tells me, he said, God has raised her up and completely healed her. But this is what he said next. He said, when she went through that village, he said, that devil-worshipping, idol-worshipping village has looked at her, and numbers of them have said, we have cursed you. We have sent our witches to pray against you. But everything that we have tried to do has failed. And they said, your God is greater than our gods. And they said, whoever your God is, let your God be our God. Oh, hallelujah. It's for your glory. God, it's for your glory. Every healing, every miracle, it's for the glory of God. Somebody give him praise in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to God. God wants to. God wants to touch you. But every miracle has got to let this world know he's alive. His power is the same. He is resurrected. He resides. And he is a redeeming Savior. Hallelujah. He's a risen Lord. He's a residing Lord. He's a redeeming Lord. Chapter 3, verse 17, God's word again. Brethren, I won't that through ignorance you did it as did also the rulers. But those things which God before hath shown by the mouth of all of his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Verse 19 says, Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. And God, in his wisdom, uses one man's messed up life as a platform for a multitude to hear the message. Jesus came to set you free. Oh God. Why? Brother Estes, why doesn't God do it right now? Because as much as God is concerned about your miracle, and he is, please, please, I say this with love, our miracle is not as important as his message. I love you. Please, please don't back up on me. I want God to heal you. Oh, if I could come into your life and just turn it all around and make it all different with a snap of a finger, I would love to. But God, in his wisdom, says, I'm going to get the most glory out of it. And what the devil meant for evil, he can still turn and work for good. I'm closing. There was a dear little old lady. Sister Taylor was her name. Oh, you had to know Sister Taylor. You're going to have to wait to go to heaven to meet her. She was there in Florida. Sister Taylor, I'm not telling you to do this, but she was a severe diabetic, but she would fast 3 days out of the week. The first day that she would fast that week, it would simply and solely be for her pastor. The second day of the week that she would fast, it would be for her church. The third day of the week that she would fast, it would be for personal edification to draw closer to the Lord. And oh, you want to talk about a touch of heaven. I mean, you knew if Sister Taylor let off one of them woo, shouting, whooping things and making Indians' blood curl, thank God you knew God was about to show up. And she'd take off running, and it'd be just about this fast. Don't make fun of her. She's faster than some of you run. Whoa. She said, whoa, whoa. She died and went on to glory. And I was talking to the pastor one day about her, and he said, of course, her husband died years before Sister Taylor died. And he said, I didn't know this till afterwards. But little Sister Taylor would come to that church, and every Sunday, every Wednesday night, she'd have that same little church dress on. Well, those ladies, you know, they noticed stuff like that. And so they would go and they'd get Sister Taylor a new dress. And they said Sister Taylor would take that thing and hold it like you would a firstborn child. And tears would swell up in her eyes and she'd say, thank you. And then she'd come back to church that night in that same little church dress. And then a couple months later, they'd get her another one and she'd take it. And I mean, son, she'd hold it with endearment. And she'd come back to church that night with the same little church dress. And he said, I didn't know this till years later, but her husband, who was a very, very wicked man, and Sister Taylor was a small little lady. Her frame was so small. He was a great big man. And they said that whenever she would walk back in that little house of theirs with that brand new dress, they said one of the favorite things he'd love to do, he'd walk up and pull it out of her arms and push her back. He'd go get his knife and start cutting it to pieces. Watch her cry her eyes out. He'd throw it back to her. Say, now, why don't you go back to that holiness church tonight? Brother Estes, are you going to tell me that, thank God, he finally turned around and gave his heart to God and everything? No, far as I know, that man died and busted hell wide open. But here's what I do know. Sister Taylor never got bitter in the process. That was her best. Sometimes when you don't get your miracle, sometimes that can be a greater testimony to the message than even if you did. Help me, Lord. I want you to get healed. But what I really want is men and women just to see the message. Can you help me tonight, please, sister? Oh, God. Oh, God. And what one man could never understand all of his life, now, everything pushed together, God answered. Thousands of men and women know a living and true God. I wonder 10,000 years into eternity if every now and again that poor man will bump into somebody there that day. I wonder if every now and again, still right now in heaven, if he says, oh yeah, I didn't realize you were there. Yeah, that was me. Years, I never could figure out, why did God let me do that? But now, seeing it from this side, I'd have lived 100 lives as a crippled man just to know that message was shared with you. I don't want tragedy to happen to any of us. I mean that with all of my heart. I believe God's brought a preacher by tonight to tell somebody his message is more important than your miracle. I want him to heal you. I hope he does. But oh God, give me the strength, if you do, to let other men and women know he's alive. His power's the same. And he can save your life too. Oh God, if you do decide to heal with a miracle, oh God, let it point to your message. Stand with me all over this house, please. Pastor, there are mysteries in life that I'll never be able to understand. But I have to hold on to this promise. Somehow or another, he is working all things. my good. And somehow or another, if I will let him, this too will bring his message glory. Because what I really desire is not just temporal blessings here, but what I truly desire is to hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful. Well done. You never got that healing, and yet you never turn your back on me. Well done. Enter in. Joys are yours." Oh God, give us hearts again that are refocused what's most important. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, hearts are open. I wonder how many in this house would simply be honest with me and willing to say, "Brother Estes, I need a miracle in my life right now. But more important than anything, God, Lord, let that miracle be used to bring him glory. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you and 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 thank you and you." There's others still. I need a miracle. Thank you. I need a miracle. But oh God, don't let me be selfish with it. Don't let it be consumed upon my own lust. Don't let it just be something I store away in the closet, but something that would be a divine testimony to every living soul. Jesus is alive and well. Any others would be willing to truly, truly pray that prayer tonight? Thank you. There were many hands that were raised. Many hearts, I believe, are open, and I'm hoping tonight God can refocus some of our priorities to put him first again. And those that raised your hands and those that did not, I'm simply going to ask every last one of us, can we slip out from where we're standing this evening? And can we come in around these altars and ask the Lord, simply have your way. Do with me what you desire. And oh God, remind me it's not just about my miracle. It's about you, God. It's still about you.